George is 69 years old in a society which forbids anyone living once they turn 70. As if that weren't troubling enough, he's had to deal with a death date admin mix-up, a reality TV show, and now a kidnap at the hands of OAP terrorists.
Citizens past, customers future. My name is George Smith.
We're not after information here, George. We're after obedience. That's what torture's all about. Obedience. Oh, and you've got a press conference. Here's your script. I'm sure you won't let us down.
Gentlemen of the press, during the rescue, the OAPs knocked me out and left me for dead. Death to Mrs. Crookston and all her murderous cronies, thank you.
As far as I can see, this whole kidnap is a propaganda plan to blacken the OAP's reputation.
Where are you taking me?
Can't tell you where we're going, but Mrs. Crookston would like a word.
Mrs. Crookston?
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace by Collins Watch.
As far as I could tell, the old age paramilitary's hideout was a massive network of underground granny flats. I was blindfolded and pushed along the corridors in a wheelchair where an earthy dampness mixed with the smell of cold tinned potatoes hit my nostrils. The cries and grunts of martial arts training echoed from behind one door, and from several more openings came the sound of the ancient balladeer Andy Williams. My face brushed through a pair of net curtains. I smelt sardines. At last, the blindfold was removed, and I came face to face with the world's most evil criminal mastermind.
Hello, dear.
I had seen her face a million times before on flame-red police posters and Crime Watch video screens, but for a second she looked almost harmless in her dark brown dressing gown and pink pom-pom slippers.
You're just in time for tea.
Mrs. Crookston, what do you want with me?
Just to talk, dear. When a young man like you goes on television to say death to Mrs. Crookston, I tend to take it personally.
I was told to say it.
Super.
What?
You can make super out of those letters, can't you? Oh, sorry, don't you watch Countdown? There should be more programs you can watch with the sound turned down.
Oh, I see.
And you blamed my organization for kidnapping that awful girl off the television and leaving you for dead. He'd never do that.
The authorities tortured me. It was central agents who kidnapped Wilma P. Random, but they forced me to blame the OAPs.
Hello? What's this? Where's that remote control?
Interrupt that very old repeat for a newsflash. The existence of God has been proven once and for all.
What?
I don't believe it.
Research by a team of religious scientists in Leicester has led to the first mathematical proof of a single, almighty, invisible deity. The Archbishop of Canterbury has already professed himself delighted.
Well, it's marvellous news. Such a boost to know one's been backing a winner all these years.
The full proof of God's existence can be found on the internet at www.godalmighty.co.uk. UK. We now return you to Countdown.
Grim news.
Why? If there's definitely a god, there must be paradise.
And central admin will appear even more justified in ending people's lives at 80 years and 10. Ronnie?
You've heard the news?
We need to hold an emergency natter about things immediately.
I'll clear the sitting room.
Well, thank you for coming, George. Did you bring a coat?
Yes. Is that it? I'm free to go.
Ronnie will run you home. And if you ever want to make contact, this is my number.
Your phone?
My pager.
There's nothing else you want from me.
Oh, you've done more than ample, dear.
I have?
Much more than ample. Thank you kindly. Now you look after yourself. Wrap up warm, won't you?
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
Bastard.
Huh?
Oh, no, there's only one A in that. Well, take care, dear.
And with a mushy, whiskered kiss, I was dismissed. In the hovercab home, the proof of God's existence didn't seem to trouble Ronnie, who it turned out was Mrs. Cookson's husband. He happily admitted it was his wife who wore the trousers in their terrorist organization. His passion was 20th century composers such as Schoenberg, Cage and Stockhausen, or as musicologists now collectively referred to them, the difficult ones.
I mean, say you wanted me to describe the musical personality of Olivier Messiaen.
Yes?
Well, I'd have to call that an unlikely marriage of overt eroticism and stubborn religious faith and ornithology.
Right.
But where this symphony really does the business is in the symbolic representation of the physical union of the two lovers. In the joie des sang des étoiles. Hello? We're being followed.
Where?
Well, from behind, obviously.
The mirrored windows which had kept the OAP headquarters secret from me lowered to reveal the passing cityscape. We were in the shadow of the Leaning Tower of London in Canary Wharf. Sure enough, we were being tailed.
It's the Age Cops. Hold tight, Mr. Smith.
I know.
Ronnie's experience as a hobber cabby was pushed to the limit as we swerved, swooped and soared round the skyscrapers of Docklands, leaving me in quite a quandary if we got out of this alive as to how much to tip.
I'll have to drop you here, Gov.
What do you mean? We're over the river.
Precisely.
As I struggled to keep my mouth closed to the Sweet Thames softly running sewage, it was hard to appreciate. But by dropping me immediately after a tight bend, he'd left the Age Cops none the wiser as they roared over my head. I staggered into the nearest hospital where, posing very effectively as a man who had fallen into the river, I had my stomach pumped and rested under observation for 24 hours. Several times I tried calling Doris at home, but all I got was the same bizarre message.
Hello, I'm Doris Smith and you're fully clothed. Please leave a message after the beep.
The joy of returning to my house and home was considerably dampened by a for sale sign planted in the front garden. What was Doris playing at? At least my key still fitted.
Doris? Doris?
It looked as if no one had touched the place since the TV crew had pounced all those days before.
Outstanding voicemails 17, 1 from Central Banking, 16 from George Smith.
George Smith, account holder 35129/76/32/4. You are currently half a unit overdrawn. Half a unit. Report to the bank manager immediately, in person. How dare you go overdrawn? How dare you? Yours sincerely, Central Banking.
Just what I need.
Hang on. Come in. Andrea.
George. You got a minute? You alone?
Yeah, sure. But what's the matter? Why the unusual entrance?
What do you mean?
Well, you normally smash a window or come swinging in on a rope. Andrea's Sunbeam, bounty hunter, pressing the doorbell.
None of us is getting any younger, George. George, did you get one of these?
No, no post, just a ratty voicemail from the bank.
It's from the secret police.
What do they want?
For me to pick out a suspect at an identity parade. They want to put up for trial by television next week.
What, at the Royal Studios of Justice?
Yeah, with a phone-in verdict.
Who's the compere?
Justice Bickerstaff.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, they're going to use tonight's ID parade as a live trailer.
Makes sense.
Wait for it, George. They want me to pick out the OAP who escaped after the kidnap.
What OAP? There weren't any OAPs. You never saw anyone.
Precisely. Which is why MI-101 have kindly sent me a photo.
Of the guy you have to ID?
It's a stitch-up, George. Here, take a look. Know him?
Oh, my God. No.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. You're doing that sexy blushing thing again. Gives you away every time.
He is an LAP.
You met him?
Very, very briefly. He's Mrs. Cookson's husband, Ronnie.
Whoa.
What are you going to do?
What sort of subspecies of schmuck do you take me for, George? I testify or I'm dead. Unless... George.
Yes?
I'm tired of killing.
Oh, good for you.
Why don't we get away from here? You and me, a long, long way away. We could lead a sort of Bonnie and Clyde existence, constantly on the run. Except instead of robbing banks, I could do a bit of temping. What do you say, George? What do you say?
Andrea,
mm-hmm.
I can't leave Doris.
She seems to have left you.
There'll be an explanation. Perhaps she's just taken a holiday, or perhaps she's won the lottery, and we'll be able to live for as long as we like.
No one lives for as long as they like, George.
I don't want to run, Andrea.
So long, then.
Though...
Yeah?
I appreciate the offer.
Thanks, George. You know what? You're not lying. Bye-bye, George. Take care.
Back in town, the whole metropolis was still buzzing with the news about God's existence. I felt unable to join in the fun. What would Ronnie be thinking now, manacled in a cell under the watchful eye of a makeup girl? I left a message on Mrs. Cookson's pager, warning her of her husband's fate, but careful not to mention Andrea. Andrea, I would never betray. Even the bank was buzzing. Conclusive proof of a benign deity was just the confidence boost the money markets needed. The FTSE had gone through the roofing. Above the main counter on the internet biddy screen, the God Almighty website was spooling slowly through page after page of diagrams, equations, and computer-generated thunderbolts. Customers were hugging each other, and the cashiers were handing out free glasses of champagne. The party atmosphere permeated every office, except one.
You are half a unit overdrawn.
Mr. Jenkins.
Half a unit overdrawn.
Good morning.
Half a unit!
Yes, I'm afraid I failed to pick up my pension.
I suppose you're going to claim that half a unit is a trifling sum. Hardly worth central banking bothering about, what with the interest on the interest on the interest from our African loan scheme still pouring in. But you'd be wrong. No sum is trifling. An overdraft of one unit matters a great deal, Mr. Smith.
You said it was half a unit.
Voicemails cost money, Mr. Smith, as does my time. So tell me, and tell me fast, how you intend to pay us back before we oblige you to sell one of your kidneys to Central Healthcare.
As I say, my gyro...
Ah. 1 minute gone. Let me add another unit.
Oh.
Mr. Smith... Would you like to sleep with my wife?
What?
Or perhaps you'd like someone shot. An irritating neighbor, disc jockey? I'd be happy to oblige.
What are you talking about?
Your account would now appear to be a very, very healthy 5 million units in credit.
5 million units?
Yeah. Well, technically minus two for charges incurred, but we can waive that, no problem. So, are there any cashiers out there that you'd like to see naked?
Where did it come from?
We can arrange photographs if you're shy.
All I want is to know where this money has come from.
Of course, sir. We can do that for you. And can I just mention that as an executive gold card holder...
Ah, yes!
We guarantee a 24-hour-a-day financial service by assigning you a personal banking advisor to live in a kennel in your garden. Ah, here we are. Banker's order from one Doris Smith.
Doris? Perhaps she has won the lottery.
Looks a bit like it, sir.
Do you have an updated address for her, or... No, I suppose that's confidential banking information.
Mr. Smith, I hardly think the Data Protection Act need get in your way. Confidential, blah, blah, blah. Ah, address previously of 121 Titchmarsh Gardens, currently of Suite 17 at the Hotel Paradiso.
Thank you. I'll be off then.
No, wait. Allow me to open the door.
We shall process your gold card immediately, Mr. Smith. Make way for Mr. Smith. Make way.
I was just about to float out of the bank when the God Almighty website was rudely interrupted.
Hello, dears.
I don't know if it's a
God.
Forgive me for stopping this flow of scientific formulae. However, it is my duty to tell you that this proof of God's existence is a complete fraud. This so-called proof is logged on what computer boffins tell me is a fractal website. One that is constantly recreating itself ad infinitum. In short, you could read it all your life and be no nearer to proving God's existence. But do you believe us, the wicked, wicked OAPs? Or do you believe the state? Perhaps this short video clip will help you make up your mind.
The authorities tortured me. It was central agents who kidnapped Wilma P. Random, but they forced me to blame the OAPs.
My dears, how can we trust the authorities when they resort to such tactics? Take care, and remember, brains before brawn.
Brains before brawn, I'll say. The OAPs had secretly videoed my stay at their headquarters. No wonder Mrs. Cookson had told me I'd done more than ample for them.
Look, there he is!
Ah.
Stop him!
I walked briskly out of the building, then broke into a run. But within 50 yards, I was brought down by a crushing rugby tackle from my bank manager.
Now, whilst I feel it is my duty to hand you over to the state, I shall resist with the utmost vigour any attempts to seize your assets.
He'd spoken too soon. Squirming from his grasp, I stood up and, rather shocking myself, kicked him in the stomach.
You are now entering the Hotel Paradiso. Luxury at its most luxurious. Kindly wipe your feet on one of the doormen provided.
My surprise appearance on video meant that I was now public enemy number one, though happily that news had yet to reach the girl in the chemist, who sold me my disguise of a bobble hat and pair of sunglasses with free leather carrying pouch in black or brown. Knowing that the bank manager would already have raised the alarm, my mind seemed to be racing twice as fast as normal, and I very quickly plumped for brown. The disguise was worth every penny. Even as I stepped into the Hotel Paradiso lobby, the video screen presented a most unflattering freeze frame of my face, with my eyes half shut and a really unfair double chin.
George Smith has betrayed the state and betrayed you. If you see him, do not approach him. He is public enemy number two, and still at number one for the 276th week.
Hello, dears.
Pure evil.
Doris.
Yes?
It's me, George. Oh, hang on, I'll take these off.
George?
You look terrific.
You look terrible.
Well, I'm on the run.
Well, come in, come in. Oh, George, I've got so much to tell you.
Doris, I've been held prisoner in the most feared torture chamber in the state.
I've got my own TV show.
I'm strapped in a chair for 14 days.
Here, look, I've got a tape of the pilot.
Doris, have you any idea what I've been through?
Oh, George, listen to yourself. Me, 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 me. Honestly, the world hasn't stopped just because you've been away, you know.
Away? Doris was so determined and I was so exhausted, I sat down to watch whatever it was.
Hello! Thank you!
What? You're on telly.
It's my own idea, too.
Hello, and welcome to Strip University Challenge. I'm Doris Smith, and you're fully clothed. Today's teams come from Wafik Saeed College, Oxford, and the University of Luton.
Every now and then, a television programme comes along that is so excruciatingly painful to watch that you just know it will run and run. I watched as if in a dream, or to be precise, a nightmare.
So, halfway through now, with the scores evenly poised, and a couple of splendidly hairy chests already on show, another start of the ten. The biggest selling CD of all time was recorded in...
Gillespie, Luton.
Mona Lisa.
By Leonardo and the Da Vinci's. Well interrupted, Luton. Another 5 points for Luton. And you nominate...
Dawkins.
Dawkins again. You're picking on her, Luton. Okay, Dawkins. What's coming off now? The jumper?
No, a shoe.
Not a worry, Luton. Plenty of time left. Three questions with a musical theme. Listen to this.
Stack 'em high, sell 'em cheap, telly, at its very best.
It's garbage.
I'll bet you don't know all the answers. Some of the questions are quite erudite, actually.
Yes, but people are still taking their pants off if they get them wrong.
Phillips, Luton.
Money, money, money.
By Scandinavia composers Anderson and Olveus. And you nominate...
Dawkins.
Oh, no.
The other shoe. Another start of a 10 now. The second English monarch to be executed by Parliament...
Garbage, Doris. More and more garbage.
Actually, George, it's not garbage. It's pap.
Same thing?
No. P-A-P. Popular Audience Programming. It's not clever. It's not useful. But it is lucrative.
Pap, eh?
And it's my pap, George. My pap. My format. My millions.
What have we done to deserve it?
Deserve? Did the man who invented sugar puffs deserve to be rich? Did the man who wrote Phantom of the Opera deserve to be rich? There's a level, George, where you stop earning money and simply make it.
Oh, look, it's the ID parade.
Will it be number one, the tall man with the beard? Or will your eyes settle on number two, the tall man with the beard? Or perhaps it's number three, the tall man with the beard? Or how about shifty-looking number four, the short character with a scar on his face? Or will you pick number five, the tall man with a beard? The choice, Andrea, is yours.
Is that Sunbeam Woman? That suit and tie don't really go with the bikini, do they?
Very well, Miss Sunbeam. Who you gonna pick? Sunbeam?
My lad, it's kind of hard to say.
I must warn you, Miss Sunbeam, that if you don't answer, you'll find yourself in a lot of trouble.
It's number one.
No, it isn't.
Number two, then.
Miss Sunbeam, you are making a mockery of this program.
Well, there just happens to be a reason for that, my lad. Because these proceedings are...
We apologize for the sudden loss of picture on your screens. While we sort out the technical hitch, here's page one of the proof of God's existence.
Poor, brave, foolish Andrea. The authorities had pulled the plug on her, knowing what she'd say next. Right now, she'd be in handcuffs, being led down to the cells, perhaps to be given one last chance. Perhaps not.
George, you still love me, don't you?
Yes.
And you're not jealous of my career?
No.
It'll all be worth it, George. With worldwide sales, we'll be able to live for as long as we like. Hmm?
I smiled thinly and kept the memory of Andrea Sunbeam's parting words to me to myself.
No one lives for as long as they like, George.
Doris was looking at my face. I could tell. I was looking at the blank TV screen. Inch by inch, for every day that Doris and I had been apart, some indefinable gap had opened up between us. I thought back to 2 weeks ago, to my birthday, and how Doris and I had agreed to marry, and now it hit me that perhaps that was not such a good idea.
George, what are you thinking?
Nothing.
Oh, that'll be Hector.
Hector?
Oh, you know, Doc O'Connell. He's taking me out to dinner. Well, maybe both of us now. Coming!
Doc O'Connell. Once just our friendly and reliable plastic surgeon, but now, as I'd all too plainly discovered, an agent for MI-101, the man who only yesterday had released me from a state torture chamber.
Hector! Hi.
Doris, you look adorable.
Oh. Well, careful, Hector. George is here.
Is he? George, how the devil are you?
O'Connell.
Long time no see.
Well, if you two boys will excuse me, I'll just pop into the bathroom and powder my armpits.
Does she know?
No.
Good lad. Well, it's just about the only thing you have done well.
The OAPs abducted me. I didn't know I was being filmed.
We're going to have to do a recording of our own, George. Okay. A little piece to camera saying that the OAPs tortured you into saying that we'd tortured you.
And if I refuse?
We torture you. Oh, and don't even think about running, George. We've got men on every floor.
Out of your huddle, boys. What do men talk about when the ladies leave the room, hmm?
Joining us for dinner, George.
Do I have a choice?
No.
No!
What in the name of God?
Andrea, you're alive!
And kicking, and swinging on a rope! Ugh, nobody move!
Break the door down, boys!
When I said don't move, O'Connell, I was including a lips.
Andrea stood there, rope in hand, laser gun cocked. Back in her finest combat bikini, she'd cast off her pinstripe suit, though she'd yet to take off her tie.
George, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. You coming with me?
You bet!
George!
Doris!
Our eyes met. And in that tiny fraction of a second, we shared a thousand thoughts. We had to part. Our lives would never be the same. But someday we would meet again, and we'd always be friends. At least such thoughts flew through my mind.
George, you twit.
Ready, George? Hold me tight. We have liftoff!
Okay. I'll come and open it.
Whoa. Don't look down, George.
Suddenly we were swinging outside, swaying in the dark. No, in the semi-dark, dotted with light from a thousand buildings and street lamps near and far. I took one glance at the ground way, way below.
Oh, I did warn you, George.
But we were drawing away from it. Upwards, not down, up towards a grinding noise within the belly of a hover jet. A mechanical pulley with a dark figure kneeling beside it.
Hold me tight, George.
You said that already.
I like saying it.
In you get.
Mrs. Cookson!
Hello, George. You look like you could do with a nice cup of tea. Nice work, Andrea. Okay, Ronnie, home we go.
Ronnie, you got out too.
Thanks to Miss Sunbeam.
And I'm afraid thanks to brawn rather than brain.
Hey, it was the only way, Mrs. C. All those guys were armed.
Well, we must make sure your laser gun pyrotechnics are seen as the act of an insane maverick and not the OAVs.
But, Andrea, you said you were tired of killing.
I was, George. Then you inspired me.
I don't think so. How?
I've never been so close to a man who's really taken a stand on something.
Oh?
A man who sees an injustice and instead of letting it go, gets up and does something about it. Now I know why you always seem to be such a coward. It's a brilliant front, the perfect cover.
It is?
To go out on a limb, to tell the truth, to make that video recording for the OAPs. George Smith, you have got guts with a capital G.
Did it cross my mind to tell her the truth? Of course it did. Very, very briefly. But faced with the undying admiration of a beautiful bikini-clad bounty hunter, well, I couldn't let that girl down, could I? Really, it was nothing. Andrea smiled, looked out at the city lights, unable to see my blushes in the darkness, and then I looked at Mrs. Cookson. Mrs. Cookson, who knew the truth. And Mrs. Cookson looked at me. And winked.
Paradise Lost in Cyberspace was written by Collins Wash and starred Stephen Moore with Patsy Byrne. Also, Lorelei Kinney, Jeff McGivern, Melanie Hudson, Chris Douglas, Peter Serfinowicz, and Lewis McLeod. The producer was Richard Wilson.